Good morning. Again, and happy Mother's Day. So we've been we're finishing off a three-week series on the family, and we've looked at, so far we looked at three practical principles that will help establish strong marriages and families. And out of Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15, let me read that. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father served in the region beyond the river, the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we talked about three principal practical applications for the families: to make a choice, to worship, and to develop that relationship. And then last week, we looked at the important covenant that God established in Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 through 24. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh." And we talked about keeping the covenant, the promise that you made before God, that God has established for man, for his ideal, for a family. And today we want to look at a mother's heart in celebration of Mother's Day. And as we do that, you remember those things your mom used to say, don't make that face or it's going to what? Stay that way? All right. I looked up some more, and then what they really mean. When mom says, don't make me come over there, what she really means is, I really don't want to get up or stop what I'm doing to come over there. When a mom says, because I said so, it's because she really can't think of another reason. When mom says, don't make me turn this car around, well, who's used that line? Anyone? I'm totally bluffing. If we turn around, we'll be going home without any groceries, diapers, and we need to keep the car en route to its destination. So please just fall for my bluff, and I'll give you a cookie at the grocery store. When mom says, I'm the parent and you're the kid, she really means, I'm aware that this is super condescending and you already know who's who around here. I'm actually just giving myself a pep talk out loud. I'm really not even talking to you. And this one, this one's for Oliver. When she says, let's not try to eat off the floor, what mom is really thinking, I don't really care if you eat off the floor. Just don't tell anyone that I let you. And two more. I'm going to count to three, and then you better be in your bed. What she really means is, I literally have no energy left. It's the end of the day, and I just want to go to bed. I'm going to count to three very slowly and hope it works. After that, I've got nothing. And when mom says, I love you, what she really means is, I love you more than you can know, and I really hope I'm doing okay at this mom thing. That's what mom really means. So a mother's heart, and first I want to talk about a mother's love. And when I'm talking about a mother's love, what that really encompasses is not just love unconditionally, but love in teaching and love in guiding and love in directing your children. Barbara Kingsolver, who's an author, wrote this. She says, kids don't stay with you if you do it right. It's the one job where the better you are, the more surely you won't be needed in the long run. That's good advice. Do it right. Train your kids to do what they're supposed to do, to get out there into the world and to be an example. But turn to 1 Kings chapter 3 with me, please. Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 3. And beginning at verse 16, this is one of King Solomon's first acts as after he prayed for wisdom from God. And an incredible picture of wisdom, but it also shows the incredible love a mother has for a child. Says this, then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, oh my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone, and there was no one else in the house, only we two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him, and arose at midnight and took my son from beside her, while your servant slept, and laid him at her breast, and laid her dead son at my breast. When I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. When I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child to which I had born. But the other woman said, no, the living child is mine, the dead child is yours. The first said, no, the dead child is yours, and the living child is mine. Thus they spoke before the king. And you can see the dilemma there. You know, the mom switched the babies, and there's just that conflict. And this is going to be a good example of what a mother's love really is. The king said in verse 23, the one says, this is my son that is alive, and your son is the dead. The other says, no, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one. And the king said, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought before the king, and the king said, divide the child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Wow, what a solution. It says, fine, you're both going to fight over the baby? Let's just split it in half, and you each get your half. But look at the responses. In verse 26, the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means put him to death. But the other said, he shall neither be mine nor yours, divide him. The king answered and said, give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death. She is the mother. And that was the deciding factor. The mother was willing to sacrifice everything so that her son will live. And that's what a mother's love is. It's a sacrificial love. And moms generally don't get much in return. You know, hope you maybe get a card, get a flower, get lunch today, or get breakfast. But moms deserve so much more for what they do. Look at Proverbs chapter 6 with me, please. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always and tie them around your neck. So mothers, that's a big responsibility for you and fathers, is to teach and train your children what is right, when to do what is right, how to react when you do what is right. And that's so important in the world we live in today. There's so much gray area. There's so much an easy way out. And those of you who have moms who care may not understand that as that's a moms who care. My mom's with us this morning, and I can remember many a time where she cared when I didn't want her to care. If I'm hanging out with the wrong person, she had no problem coming out there with her chancla and get me by the ear and get me back in the house, embarrassing me in front of my friends. And at that time, I go, what are you doing? Not realizing that she loved me. I remember one time we were at we were at North Park. He was playing in a band, and I'm sitting there with my mom. She wants to sit toward the front. And these two kids are, they weren't older than me, but they were shooting peas into the band. I thought that was pretty cool. You can hear them ding off the drums or the horns. My mom leans over and goes clunk on their heads. And I'm sinking in my chair. I'm just sinking in my chair. But, you know, she was like, you don't act like that. And even to someone else's kids. But, you know, that's what it's saying here. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. And parents, that's a big responsibility you have to, what are you teaching your kids? How are your kids acting? How are your kids reacting? As Levi's playing Little League, and we see how the other little kids react, and we're like looking at the other parents, do something about your kid. But it doesn't seem to be important anymore to show them love, to show them discipline, to show them direction. And that's a big calling. And we have a lot of young parents in this congregation. That's a big calling. What you say, what you watch, what you do, and what you teach them. Because they will be watching you. And they're looking at you for answers. They're looking at you for direction. They may not be asking for it. And they're looking at you for hope in a world that is so chaotic. We have so much going into them from the world, from school, from their friends, from society, from media, from social media. It's feeding in. You need to be there and be that barrier, to be that safety wall, to be that firewall in a sense, to say, hey, you're going to hear all this. Can't keep you from all that, but here's what the Word of God says. Here's what we do. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is important and a high calling that you have as a mom, that we have as a parent. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Old Testament again, Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. And this is Moses talking to the Israelites who have struggled for wandering in the wilderness. They were disobedient after disobedient after disobedient, not learning what God has taught them. So Moses is getting ready to teach them again for what they're going to learn to go into the promised land. And he reminds them of this. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Know on that day how you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, and the Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they may live on earth, that they may teach their children so. That's reiterated. Teach your children and teach them again and teach them again so they would pass it on and teach their children again. Who in here is a second or third generation Christian? Anyone? That's because they passed that along to you. And hopefully the generations after you would learn that. And who in here has someone who is no longer in church that you wish were here? One of your children or offspring. We go through that too. And we're hoping that somehow they come back. But the key is to do what? To teach them now. We put in as much time and want to get them the right school. Want to get them the right health care. Want to get them on the right sports team. It's amazing what the competition they do for sports these days. But what about the right instruction? Time to take them to the church. What about taking, show them the Word of God and them watching you pray? Or them watching you read? Or them watching you serve? You know, one of the difficulties we have in such a small church is in serving the needs of people. Chips in or what? That only certain people. They're going to learn that from you. They're going to learn it from the parents, from the mothers. They want to see how you act and function. It's all part of the same thing, how we serve one another and what we teach our kids. Proverbs chapter 22. And this is a verse a lot of people. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not. Promise, not a guarantee. If you think about that. Train up a child, and we say, well, I brought my kid to Sunday school. I'm not sure where they're at right now, but it says he will not depart. The idea is a constant training. It's a constant leading. It's from when they're in kindergarten until, and that's what that means. Train them in the way they should go. And if you want something to go in a certain direction, don't you kind of got to be there to kind of be that bumper, to be that guide? No one drives a car without, without making a plan, right? You don't just go unless you're driving with me and I tell you I know where I'm going, right, Pastor? But you kind of make a plan from point A, and you follow the signs. And right now, I'm addicted to my Waze app, and my friends laugh at me. I don't mind driving to someone's driveway and waving at them they're eating dinner to get there quicker. But it's giving you a step-by-step direction of where to go. That's what it's talking about here. We need step-by-step instruction for our kids and the step-by-step direction in which way to take them. Okay, right? I had a good friend, but I was just out of high school, getting ready to go to college, and you look like you're smart and don't go the way I'm going. And I'm thinking, well, why don't you just do what's right? Your lessons and working with middle school kids at the church I came from many, many years ago, my first time, our middle school class was bigger than this church. We had about 300 middle schoolers. So it's a lot of, it was my time to lead them and take them to another room. I said, go over there, and they're not moving. And one of the teachers has been there for a while, pulls me aside. He says, Al, does a shepherd push, as I walk, they follow. As you walk as a parent, your kids will follow. As you walk as a mom, but he's giving you the instruction book. He's giving you the points. He's giving you the help. He's giving you the support system. Sarah recently just got back from the church where Dr. Tony Evans pastors. And for years, they've had a program there that the deacons run. I'm not sure if it's still going on, but they have such a good reputation in the community that even the police department with troubled kids would bring them there so that the men would become surrogate fathers to them. They have total permission because there's a lot of single moms. There was a lot of single moms in that community. We can't handle our kids, would you step in? And they stepped in firmly but lovingly. They were that direction point. Same way with us. If you need help, let us know with your kids. And we will walk with you. We will show you the Word of God. We will pray with you. But and those of you who have parented already, be available to somebody to show them, I know it's tough. You know, I know it's hard. I know your kids say they hate you right now, but stand strong. Your job is not, you know, probably going to get some of you upset. Your job is not to be your kid's friend. It's not. Never was. Your job is to be their parent. and to direct them and to guide them and to lead them. And later on, you can become friends when they're ready on their own. But it's not to be their friend along the way, because you know what friends do, right? Friends let each other get away with things. Friends let each other, you know, take the shortcut. You can't do that. You have to let them sometimes scrape their knee, and that's okay. You have to let them sometimes get a little hungry, but that's okay. You have to let them fix their own fight, but that's okay. You have to let them get behind on a bill on their own and fix it on their own, but that's okay. You have to let them face their own consequences, but that's okay. If you don't, what happens? What's the end result? You're going to be fixing their life throughout their adulthood, and that's not okay. And that becomes a mess. But God's word is directing you, is guiding you, is showing you. And that's why we put such a strong emphasis on doctrine, on fundamentals. Wednesday nights, we're going through our fundamentals of the faith, the basics of what we believe, so you can have a foundation in which to establish your belief system and to guide and lead your family. You have to have something to hang on to. When the storms come in, you need an anchor. You can't just be swimming around there because you're going to drown. But that's why at this church we will say, no, you need to direct your children in the path that God has called them to. And it's a tough job. But we will be there with you. So a mother's love. And that's teaching them and not just giving them. What about a mother's prayers? A mother's prayers. Abraham Lincoln, you all know who he is, he said this: I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. He remembered that just as he goes, as he went through the different times of his presidency, of the different struggles of what his mother did and how his mother prayed for him. Mothers, that's your, should be one of your number one priorities, is to pray for your children and pray for them and pray for them. You know, Kina taught me a lesson early on, and you know, our kids are going through their teenage years, and I'm all worried and, you know, fretting, and she goes, let's just pray for them. And then she told each of them, you know what I pray? I pray if you're doing something wrong that you would get caught. And it worked. And it worked, you know. Either self-admitted guilt or God was there to say, hey, your mom's a prayer warrior, and I'm going to answer that prayer. So pray for them for the struggles. We want to do what first? We want to fix it for them. We want to go and tell whoever, that teacher, that they're wrong and that my kid's the smartest and best student and they got to be out of their mind. Or we want to go there and tell the coach that they're wrong and our kid's the best player. Or we want to go tell their friends that they're wrong and he needs to be your best friend. That's not going to work. You need to be a parent of prayer, a mom of prayer, and spend more time here with God, talking, complaining, doing whatever you want, rather than doing this to your kid who's not, you get anywhere that way. I told you. No. But if you do it here, it's going to fix that relationship this way. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. There was a certain man of Rathman Zophim in the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephratite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from the city to worship, to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where his two sons, Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. One day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her and grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. So as often she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Then Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more than to you than 10 sons? And after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Right there is our first principle of prayer as a parent. You haven't finished with your children and their struggles until you've prayed and wept bitterly for them. If it takes that. Not like, I'm through with you. I'm done with you. You're not done with them till you've gone through that pain, till you've gone through those tears, till you've asked the Lord to release His resources. If not, you're trying to do it on your own. So she wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed will look on the affliction of your servant and remember me not and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. So she's saying, God, I just want a son that you have, that say you opened my womb and you have blessed me, and I will give him to your service. And we know later that son was who? Samuel, a mighty prophet who led Israel in some of the most tumultuous times of their history. But because she says, no, I want to serve God, and I want to serve him with my family. How many of you would be willing to pray to God to use your children in service of him? It's a tough one, to give them up. But guess what? They're not yours anyway. You are merely a steward. You are merely a caretaker. You are merely the earthen vessel that God has chosen to walk your children along. And that's especially true for those of you who have adopted parents or adopted children. You're still the parent. You're just the facilitator. You're there to teach them. You're there to weep bitterly for them. You're there to show them. You're there to direct them. You're there to push them on that path. And she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on and be drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Wow. There's a prayer warrior. She's there just in her heart praying, and her mouth are kind of wording what's in her heart, but almost like she was drunk, but she's pouring out her soul. So again, when are you done praying for your children? Until you poured your soul out. What do we want to give it? Okay, Lord, I'm going to give you 30 seconds, right? Fix this problem. What about 30 days? What about even sometimes 30 months, even 30 years, to continue to pray and pray and pour out your soul that God would direct them and call them and use them for His glory? But that takes a lot of effort. She is so passionate that Eli, the priest, thought she was up there, some crazy woman talking to herself. Kind of like, do you remember the first days of earpieces on phones? When those just came out, you're like walking by, is that person crazy? They're just talking to themselves. And for a while, it's hooked up to a phone. It's kind of like, it's that thing. But here she is praying. And so what, someone thinks you're crazy? Just, you'd be praying for your kids. That, you know, as you drop them off to school, take time to pray that God would direct them and lead them. We want to pray the easy prayers, like, oh, put a hedge of protection. That's not the prayer that God has called you. You need to say, help them to represent you, Father, and direct them in the path in your will that you have guided them. That's the prayer. Not just to protect, to guide, and don't let them fall and put pillows all around them. That's not what life is. Life is about letting them go and what? Sometimes get some bumps in the head. But it's like a little kid. When a little kid learns to walk, what are they going to first do? They're going to crawl. But even when they crawl, every once in a while they forget to put that arm out, right? They forget, and then clunk on their head and they cry. But guess what? They get up. When they start to learn to walk, they're going to do all this stuff and fall. But they get up. They get those bumps and bruises in life. Your kids are going to fall. Your kids are going to stumble. Your kids are going to bump their head in the thing called life. But they're going to get up because if they have what? A mom who is praying for them fervently, with passion, pouring out her soul. Again, Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. You know what? You can't shock God. You can't out-ask God. You can't, I don't want to offend you, God. You can't do any of that. She is praying out of her anxiety, out of her vexation. God, do something. I'm calling on you to make this situation different. When your kids come to that impasse, don't give up. Don't say they made their own bed, let them sleep in it. And don't go rescue them either. What you need to do first is what? It's pray for them. And hopefully that they go back to those little pearls of wisdom that you gave them that are hanging on their neck. Those truths that you have instructed them, they would learn to, wait a minute, what did mom used to tell me? What did dad just tell me? What is that verse? And then go, if only, and then let them climb out a step at a time, but hanging on to the Word of God. But that's out of your prayer. When they're in that tough situation, your first line of defense is an offense by prayer. By prayer. By prayer. Don't take that lightly. Wednesday night, we plead with you to come and join us in prayer. And I know we're all afraid to pray, but it's not about somebody else hearing you. It's about you crying out to God. I wish that we could pray like they do at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, where, you know, it's not, you know, someone just sharing a request. They just start praying. It's like a concert. It's just all these voices going up to God. And if you ever listen to any of the sermons from a Wednesday night, Pastor Cimbala would say, and for that woman, I just heard cry out for her son, Father, answer her prayer. And you can hear this crying in the distance. And for that man who just asked for this, they're not raising their hand. They're not saying next and what you were. They're just crying out to God to do something from the heavenlies to change what's going on here on earth. That's what prayer is, to surrender to that. And that's the task, and that's the importance that moms, you have for your children. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way, ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Right after her prayer, she knew that God, that she had broken through, that she had prevailed, that she had won that battle, that God says, I believe you really want this, and I have some plans for you. And the breakthrough was there. But it was how? By her persistent prayer, when she poured out her soul. Again, when do you stop praying for your kids? Until you poured out your soul, until your soul is empty. And that's a long way to go. As long as you have breath, as long as you have blood going through your veins, keep praying. Keep praying. We'll pray with you. We'll stand with you on that. But keep praying. If your marriage is struggling, keep praying. If your job is struggling, keep praying. If your health is struggling, keep praying. That is the most powerful thing we can do as Christians, is to pray. 1 John chapter 5. Epistle of 1 John toward the end of the Bible, chapter 5, verse 14. And he's talking to young Christians on how to put the principles of this Christianity together. It's a new church. And he says this, and in verse 14, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Wow. Anything, but the caveat is what? According to his will. It's not like, you know, God, give me that brand new red Mercedes after church. I want it out there. You know, if it's in his will, but if it's not, that's what he's talking about. But God, I know you don't want my kids living that life that's dishonoring to you, because they have known better. They have been taught better. Change them. That's according to his will. God, my family is struggling, and I know you don't want that. What can we do, Father? What do we need to do to change? That's according to his will. That's what it means. It says, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. But what kind of prayer? That prayer that's poured out. That prayer that's battling. That prayer that's on your knees. That prayer that's consistent. And it's this confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. That's a bold confidence. Yeah. But that could be written because somebody who's walked with the Lord and knows. This is how it works. I mean, here's the 101 on Christianity. You pray, God hears. If it's the path you're supposed to be walking on according to his will, he answers. That's Christianity 101. But we forget that part. We want the answer without the prevailing. We want the direction without going to His Word. We want, you know, a solution before we even confront the problem. God says, no. Walk with me. Talk with me. Learn from me. Here's the way you do it. It's a conversation. Just as we talk to our family, hopefully, or sometimes, have that conversation, God says, I am your Heavenly Father. Talk to me. Ask of me. And you'll see what I have to give you. But I have a certain direction and a path I want you to go on. I have given you those words to hang around your neck. I have given you that path. And I have told you to pray to me. Let's do it that way. And you will see how your life will be changed. Philippians chapter 4, toward the middle of the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. That throws half of us out, right? That's what we do. We live in anxiety. We're anxious. We're anxious to, from getting your report card to opening your paycheck to see if you got a raise to you call somebody and get asked a favor. You know, we're always anxious. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So there's the release. If you're anxious, it's not yours to hang on to. It's yours to do what with? Pour it out. Let it go. That prayer that Hannah did before the Lord. Pour out your soul with prayer and supplication. Supplication is falling down and surrender before God, saying, I can't do anything about this. I am stuck. I'm at an impasse. And God says, okay, now we can have a conversation. When you know you can't go any other way, and God says, finally, you came to the right source. That's your prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Thankful that you have a Father who cares for you. Thankful that you have a Father who has given you guidance in His Word. Thankful that you have a Father that you can pray to. Thankful that you have a Father that has guided so many before you along the right path. God, where was I? I just have to read your Word and see the incredible things that you have done throughout history. And this is for me? Absolutely. You know, I could have had that V8 type thing, that feeling. It's always there. It is always there. Much like Dorothy with the red shoes. I want to go home, and what does the wizard tell her? You had the power all along. You're wearing the power yourself. You have the power all along to get through your problems, through your situations, through your circumstances, through the struggles your kids are going through. It's called prayer. Sometimes that's the last thing we go to. But you've got the power right there. He says, use it. Prayer and supplication. Let your hearts, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the end result. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, your version might say comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the beautiful thing about that is, as you're praying and crying out to God and pouring it out, and the situation's still there, but all of a sudden, you have what? Peace. God's peace. He says, okay, now we're going somewhere. I'm not going to change the situation yet, or He might, but at least you have my covering now. The peace, knowing that you gave it to me, now we're in this together. Now let's take the next step. And it's going to guard your hearts and your minds. Because what do? Our hearts are sorrowful, then our minds start thinking the worst. And I hear this all the time. But what if? But what if? But what if? And I go, what if hasn't happened and may never happen? Why are you worrying about something that's not even there yet? Because you let your heart lead you. And it's changed your mind. But do it the reverse. Let God lead you, and He will guard your what? Your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If Christ Jesus conquered death, can He take care of a problem you may have? What else is there? There's nothing bigger than that, than conquering that ultimate. And the peace of God shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And there's part of the issue. Unless you have that relationship with Christ Jesus, this is not for you yet, but it can be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Almost one of the shortest verses. Verse 16 above it says, rejoice always. So that's got to be one of the shortest. But verse 17 says this. Pray without what? Ceasing. And this is what confuses us. How can I pray without ceasing? I can't close my eyes while I'm driving. Well, I do because that's when I get my best sleep. No, that's not true. Pray without ceasing means this. It means live in an attitude of prayer. That's what that means. Your life is an attitude of prayer. Prayer doesn't have to be like this and on your knees. Sometimes it can be. Prayer doesn't. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, okay, close your eyes before we pray. Or nowhere does it say, here's the words you have to use. It gives us a model of prayer, but never says how. Because prayer can be, you're in a car. Another car's going to, coming at you. God help. That's a prayer God hears. Right? You see your kids. Guide them. Direct them. Lead them. In the mornings, as I'm leaving and I'll take Levi to school and Keenan will put Levi in the car, she goes, don't forget, we got to pray. And it's not long hours of prayer. It's something like a simple prayer of thanks and guidance and direction. And that, with that one thing, she is comforted in knowing, okay, we're on the right path. We're in the right direction. But I forget. She tells me when we get home, we didn't pray today. Yeah, she reminds me. And it's a good reminder. But that's what it is. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. It's an attitude of prayer. Live in an attitude of prayer. That's how you can make some tough decisions quickly and at the last minute. Because if you're in an attitude of prayer, guess what? Your prayer bank is full. You are on the right track. That's why you can make a quick decision when you need to in God's will if you're what? If you're prayed up. That, I mean, I use that term. But if you're in that attitude and mindset of you're always praying, life decisions get easier because you know you're walking in the path that God has directed you. When it's something that can wait, take it too long hours of prayer if you need to, but pray without ceasing. So we talked about a mother's heart, a mother's prayers. What about a mother's relationship? A mother's relationship. Turn to Exodus chapter 2. Old Testament, Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now the Israelites are in captivity. They're in slavery to the Egyptians. They're getting bigger and bigger, and they're saying, we got to do something. So the mandate was, kill every male child that is born. That's our solution. So these people won't grow anymore. Verse 1 says this, now a man from the house of Levi went and took his wife, a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took from him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch, and she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young woman walked beside her. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called his mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, but she said, I drew him out of the water. And you know the rest of the story. Moses was the man who started as a child that was God's voice to the people to lead them out of captivity into the promised land. All because a mother was willing to do what? Sacrifice. To do whatever she can to keep her son alive, and then to give him away. And she got paid to babysit him. That's the cool part. But to give him away. But that's what she did. She took care of him, and she trusted enough in God. God, if you gave me this child, if you protected this child, then the child is completely in your hands. I got nothing I can do that is better than the plan you have for him. And what plan did he have for him? To free the world. Because that led up all the way through the line of the Messiah of Jesus Christ. Because one woman said, it's worth it. It is worth it to do what I need to do to set my child in the right direction and to place my child into the hands of the living God who can do all things. Get the picture? God can do all things. And it's going to be because of your relationship with who He is, with who God is. Proverbs 31. and we read some of this earlier. Proverbs 31, and you know the proverb, the incredible superwoman who does everything, but not by herself because of her relationship to God. And verse 28 says this: her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Women, moms, and about anyone, if you want to walk right, if you want things to go right, if you want the direction to be right in your life, be someone who fears God, follows his word, knows how to pray, and knows how to put things into his hands. Therein lies the best truth you can ever learn. Let God take care of you, but you have to surrender to him. When the California gold fever broke out, a man went there leaving his wife in New England with his boy. As soon as he got on and was successful, he was to send for them. It was a long time before he succeeded, but at last he got money enough to send for them. The wife's heart leaped for joy. She took her boy to New York, got on board a Pacific steamer, and sailed away to San Francisco. They had not been long at sea before the cry of fire, fire, ran through the ship, and it rapidly gained on them. There was a powder magazine on board, and the captain knew the moment the fire reached the powder, every man, woman, and child would perish. They got out the lifeboats, but they were too small. In a minute, they were all overcrowded. The last one was just pushing away when the mother pled with them to take her and her boy. You can just feel her anguish. Just take, you know, two more people, right? Take me and my boy. And they said, no, we have got as many as we can hold. She entreated them earnestly. So at last they said they would take one more, not her and her boy, her or her boy. Wow. It says, do you think that she leaped into that boat and left her boy to die? No, she seized her boy, gave him one last hug, kissed him, dropped him overboard to the boat, and said, my boy, she said, if you live to see your father, tell him that I died in your place. There's a mom sacrifice. Tell your dad, you're alive because I died for you. But guess what? You can be alive spiritually because Jesus Christ died for you. You don't have to leave this place without having that assurance that, hey, I can have everything I heard today. That prayer, that love, that confidence, that direction. But it takes one thing. Somebody died in your place. And that person is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for who you are. Thank you for moms. Thank you for all they've done. And for those who struggle, who didn't maybe have that great relationship, or maybe wasn't the best mom, that things can be redeemed because of who you are, Father. And Father, if there's anyone here who is not sure, who does not have that confidence, who does not have that peace, that you are the one to control. You are the one who answers prayer. You are the one who can give us direction. You are the one who can save our soul. You can the one that can give us hope, that they would make that choice today. Father, let no one leave here who has not surrendered to you. We just thank you and praise you. And because of what your son did for us, amen. Political satirist P.J. O'Rourke wrote this. He says, everybody wants to save the earth, but nobody wants to help moms with the dishes. Moms, we want to help you with the dishes, not just with your dishes, with your life. With that, Pastor Ignacio has been moved to pray for you and to offer a challenge as well.
Powerful message today. A mother's heart, a mother's love, a mother's relationship. And the hard part about being a mom is, even if you did a good job, you feel like you failed in places. You feel you could have done something different or better. And I know some of you may have grown up with moms who were not the kind of person you would follow in their teaching. But because you've been exposed to the truth, you have a responsibility to live God's way. But sometimes with moms, we cling to the promises of God. We pray our hearts out. We show our love to our kids. And yet our kids, when they grow up to become adults, and our grandkids grow up, they have a choice to make. And then it becomes a series of choices. And sometimes those choices wreck your heart. They just pain you. It's almost like a sword. Because you know you want best or better for them. And yet they struggle. So I really want this to be a prayer for you moms whose prayers have been or prayers are going to be that your children would walk with God and your grandchildren would walk with God. And I know there's many heavy hearts here this morning. It's always kind of a dread to come to Mother's Day because you wish that your children would be somewhere in church or your grandchildren would be in church somewhere. But more than just be in church, but be in Christ and walking with Him. So what I want to do today is I want to invite you moms who have a heavy heart for your children to stand and pray. And maybe it's because your kids are still young and you're pressing for them to do right. Maybe some of you will stand because you want your kids to come back to the Lord, to get involved with the things of God. And maybe some of you, you just need to confess that you've messed up in big ways and you're praying and hoping for God's forgiveness and His deliverance and to work things out so that your family would be at peace and united with each other. So I'm going to ask you, the rest of us will bow our heads, and for your moms, please stand so we can pray for you if that's one of you. If one of those things are on you, maybe you have messed up. Maybe the feeling of messing up is there, but it's not real. It's just a sense that you have. Maybe you're praying and crying out for your children to come back to the Lord or come to the Lord. Maybe it's for your grandchildren. Father, today, an exciting day of celebrating motherhood, but yet a day filled with pain. A day, Father, that we wish we could celebrate wholeheartedly with our family, united in Christ, filled with your Spirit, filled with joy, filled with peace, knowing and acknowledging the goodness of God in their lives and that they would hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that for some of them, they would come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And that, Father, we can celebrate, Lord, next Mother's Day, because you've answered those prayers of these moms, that their children are in Christ, that their children have returned, they have repented, they have looked to you, Father. Lord, that we just pray, Lord, that we stand with these moms, Lord. And I'm sure there's many a father who would stand with them, Father, who need to continue to pray and continue to lead their homes and to be that man and that woman of God, that you, Father, would be glorified, that your name would be magnify, that we would proclaim out loud that you are good. Now help us, Father, as we struggle with the emotions and the feelings of the day. Father, I know some are struggling with the emotions of their mom not being on earth anymore. But we rejoice with those, Father, who have the assurance of heaven, of a reuniting in one day in the future, Father. But again, Father, just stir our hearts. Draw us to you, Father. Help us to recognize that you are a God that hears our prayers and that answers, Father. May we surrender our hearts to you. May you supply the strength and the right choice and the decisions and the things that these moms have to do or need to do or have been doing, and that their children would respond with gratitude. Father, we pray, Lord, that you restore peace and joy to these families. For we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. I want you to know that God is good and His love is unconditional. God is good and His love is unconditional. Well, we thank you for being here with us today on Mother's Day. The Spanish Ministry is hosting a luncheon across the street. And I know many of you signed up last week. There are a few spots available. I believe it was $20 for a family. And they'll be meeting across the street in the hall after church. But again, thank you. Happy Mother's Day. We pray God's blessing upon you. We pray that you would be that man and woman of God who has a heart for their family, their heart for God, that your prayers are powerful and that your prayers will break through and see a breakthrough in your lives as you have that relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Thank you again for being here.